Christy Potter, and this is Going Gray, the podcast about writing and books and reading and life and healing and love and everything else that I'm coming across on my road towards middle age. I am joined today by Lorraine Ash, a fellow writer and a longtime journalist who has an interesting and really inspiring story and is an amazing writer and an even more amazing person. Lorraine, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure. Tell us, to start off, tell us a little bit about you, your background as a writer. Like I said, you've been a journalist for a long time, so just kind of fill us in on your background a little bit.
Sure. You know, I was raised a Catholic. I went to Catholic schools and grade school and high school, and I always wanted to, even at that young age, open up the world to myself and, you know, think about and understand different cultures, different stories, different ways of being. I was fortunate enough when I was a girl, my father took us around the world. So I was able to, you know, visit Thailand and Japan, and it was just amazing.
Wow.
And I just kept that journey going as a journalist,
mm-hmm.
you could say.
Sure.
I love to explore different worlds and to explore how the different societal forces impact a person. You
right.
know, mm-hmm. and how psychological forces impact a person, how policy impacts a person.
Yeah.
So, and all different kinds of people. I revel in the diversity of humanity.
That must be a lot. That's a lot to really take in, whether you're a kid or a full-fledged journalist. That we're talking about policy and all these socio-economic kinds of things, having traveled the world, it must just boggle your mind how different things can be. Sure.
And I still am.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, for the record, we went camping at the lake when I was a kid, so you checkmate. So I can see that really opening that the doorway into journalism, because that journalists are just so naturally inquisitive.
Right.
You know, and to really travel the world in that way, that must have been amazing. So you've been a journalist in the same area that I live in for quite some time. And now you've kind of morphed into another kind of, in addition to journalism, you're doing other kinds of writing as well. Tell us a little bit about your books and how you got into that.
Well, you know, I've been in journalism now 32 years here in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and it was great to have all that experience behind me,
mm-hmm.
and in basically constructing stories and other people's stories. When I lost my daughter to stillbirth at age 40, I realized I had my own story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an inside story. And so instead of gathering from the outside, I was gathering from the inside and memoir writing.
Wow.
And that's how I got into memoirs. And before that, you know, I thought to myself, well, I'm intrigued by so many genres, but never memoir.
Right, right.
I'll never go into memoir.
Right.
And now I love memoir. I wrote Life Touches Life, A Mother's Story of Stillbirth and Healing, which has gone around the world and been an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wrote Self and Soul on Creating a Meaningful Life, which came 7 years after Life Touches Life. I'm constantly reading memoirs, listening to them in the car, edit them, publish them. I just love them because they give us a window into people that no other genre, I think, does.
I agree. And it even, you know, even just in the old school, you think of an autobiography, they were always kind of cut and dried. And when you get into the way that people write memoirs now, it's much more an open... People are really giving you a glimpse into sometimes these moments of just intense pain, like what you went through. I can't imagine that. But I'm sure it helps people to connect with you and to feel like maybe they do have a story to tell. Because as a journalist, you know as well as I know, everybody has a story.
That's right. When you connect, they give us that window.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also, in a good memoir, move us along.
Mm-hmm.
And show how something was resolved, you know, how a split was integrated, how a hurt was transcended, that's of immeasurable value.
It's almost like the most broad, widespread group therapy. you know, to get everybody to, you know, just to talk to other people and not talk to them specifically, but to hear from other people, you know, about their own healing process. I think it really helps to know you're not alone.
Absolutely, it's a gift of presence. Memoir is definitely a gift of presence.
Now you now let's talk a little bit more about writing to heal. I know you've led workshops on this and given talks on it. Talk about how someone who is just they might not think they have, well, there's nothing all that traumatic that has happened to me, or maybe they're just struggling with feeling depressed or whatever. How can somebody, anybody, Joe Blow on the street, how can they start that sort of memoir writing or journaling or writing to heal? How could you get started on that? It's hard.
Can start with a journal because at the very fundamental level, you are getting something inside you, outside of you. That journal is holding your experiences and your emotions and your rawness, you know. And that's fantastic. And sometimes today, people wind up blogging as they would in past times, just a journal, but it's still very raw. There's no shape to the story. But then there's a lot to be said for doing that. When my daughter died in the hospital, I was in the hospital bed, and I mean, almost lost my life in this situation. I was extremely ill, and I had my notebook next to my hospital bed, and I would just jot down words, phrases, images, and that's it, because I could not string a sentence together at that point. But when I went back to write the memoir, it's amazing how that those few pages just sprung the whole thing, you know, right back to the moment, brought me right back to the moment. So it's good. It's a lot of help. And again, that's a fundamental level of just getting it out of you. But in memoir, it has a certain form. A classical narrative form, and the form itself is healing.
That's what I'm assuming you've read The Year of Magical Thinking.
You know, I have not.
You should. It's great. But it's that same thing, and it's about Joan Didion and her, you know,
Yes.
she lost her husband and her daughter in within a couple of years, and it was that, and she talks about some of that, and I think it's a very interesting, you know, she talks about and just to be so open and so almost blunt, for lack of a better way to put it, about what the pain is like and walking through it. And I know she makes the comment in there about people say to her later, "Oh, you're so strong. You were so strong." And she thinks it wasn't a matter of being strong. I just put one foot in front of the other, and you just get through it. And you look back later and you think, "Yeah, I guess I was strong, but didn't feel strong at the at that moment." And it's that it's almost that watching. You feel almost as a reader, you almost feel like a voyeur, looking into these people's lives, even though you know that they are absolutely opening themselves up to you. It's hard not to feel a little bit like, "Wow, you know, this is the most intensely personal moment in this person's life, and I'm looking in on it." But to watch the steps involved in that healing, and I think for a writer in particular, that has to be just crucial in the healing, to be able to just get it out. And you talked about in your notebook that uncensored, almost free writing, for lack of a better way to put it, just pouring it out on the page. I can't imagine what a huge step in the healing process that is.
Absolutely, and you say, you know, walking through it, like walking through grief in the Joan Didion's case, you walk through it in this writing form, and there are other ways to do it, but this is the only way I know, writing. Otherwise, it walks right over you. I mean, you've got to process. You got to make it smaller. You got to understand it. The form of writing that I'm talking about with memoir, there's always a master question that drives a memoir. Out of all the pain, out of all the experience, a question forms. Why did this happen to me? What do I do with my mother energy now that I don't have a child? That's a huge question. And what happens is that that basically takes the trajectory of the story with it. You write toward the answer. And each chapter along the way is a shift in your consciousness toward the answer. And at the end, we want to see the memoir writer living the new reality with with the new insights. But to force yourself down that road in the form of memoir is healing. Otherwise, if you stay in the journal, I think, which is, it's got great value, mm-hmm. but if you just stay there and just keep pouring it out, it's a static thing, and you stay static.
Right. Right. What kinds of things have you, and I'm not asking you to give away any confidences, but just in general terms, what kinds of things have you seen people write about?
Oh my goodness. The people that show up in the workshops are amazing folks. We had a woman come in. She was the only person who survived the attack of a serial killer.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. You get abuse situations in childhood.
Right.
You get more quiet things that occur in midlife. People start becoming wondering what it's all meaning. That's what Self and Soul was about. But a lot of people will come in with that. Of people who are very successful. So I've now got everything I wanted. We had a lovely, beautiful person who was a star on Broadway. She reached the pinnacle of her career. And then she said, but I'm not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so success has to do with something else. What is that about? Now she's got a wonderful question there.
Right. Wow. That is so powerful to think about how many of us have been affected by that and how different our questions are, but how similar the healing process is.
It's endlessly fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You know, and I had an agent tell me once a couple of years ago that she told me she couldn't sell fiction, which I sort of choked on that. I can't get my head around that at all. And then she told me that she couldn't, the only nonfiction she wanted were trashy celebrity biographies. And I thought about that later and I thought, no, I don't see that. And what you're telling me here, and I'm not asking you to speak traditional publishing by any means, but it, what you're telling me here makes me think there really is a whole market for regular guy stories, you know? We're all just regular people struggling through things. We don't have to be Charlie Sheen waking up after a bender to have a story to tell.
No, people are enormously interested in each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. I mean, the group dynamic, people start talking about their stories. You'd be amazed
mm-hmm.
how a group bonds.
Sure.
And after a workshop ends, they keep in touch with each other. I mean, they know within the space of a weekend or an afternoon or a day.
Mm-hmm.
The essential things about each other.
Yeah.
That you can go your whole life and not have a conversation about the other areas, other arenas.
Wow. Now, let's talk a little bit about, like, as writers, and I know that you don't necessarily have to be a writer to, or consider yourself a writer to sit down and start journaling these and work it out, but I think as writers, and I'm going to harken back to Joan Didion, who specifically said that sometimes she writes to know what she thinks. And I'm sort of into her at the moment, so indulge me while I'm...
Sure!
I'm fascinated with that kind of nonfiction, creative nonfiction, which this actually falls under that heading. But, you know, I agree with that, and there's sometimes, and some of the best pieces that I have written stemmed from something that I journaled. You know, a question, as you said, which I didn't think of it quite like that, but that is what it starts out. You know, I wrote a piece that got a really good reception a few months ago on grace. You know, what is grace and how do you achieve grace in your life? And I was just sort of meandering along in my thoughts in my journal about it. And then the more I worked on it, the more I thought, this is a piece. There's definitely a piece here to be written. And I think that as writers in particular, that's really why we write, right? Is to be able to just get that out and find out for ourselves. We have all this, for me anyway, all this stuff in my head, millions of thoughts in my head. And I feel like sometimes I write just to clear it out.
Absolutely. Write to know what you think
mm-hmm.
and to make connections that are not necessarily linear or chronological.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a person will approach a journal or a memoir and, you know, for example, oh my gosh, I'm having an affair, you know, I'm 60 mm-hmm. years old, I'm having an affair, where's this from? You know, why am I doing it? I don't even know what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, this is also... if there's a theme, you see, there's a kind of split that sometimes brings people to this kind of writing. There's a state that they're in, and there's a desired state.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might be doing something that in their actions are not in sync with who they are. So there's some kind of split going on. And it might harken back to an abuse situation, for example, like, oh my God, I'm in a cycle. I'm in a subconscious cycle here. You know, and then you have an amazing journey.
Right. Right. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, that's part of the excitement of being a writer. Now, I loved being a journalist, you know, and interviewing people and pulling their stories out. But then, you know, to pull that same story out of myself, it's a whole different ball of wax.
Yes, that's right.
You know? Yeah. But okay, so you're seeing more people interested in this kind of writing?
I've always seen interest.
Good.
I don't even know if it's growing. It's just there. I don't know if, of course, the technology is as it is, because the boomers coming of age,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these things, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. What are you, go ahead.
It's a I have on my website something that the memoir is the most democratic of the terrain of literature. You know,
wow,
and I think that's true.
It is.
Stop.
I like that, actually. I hadn't thought about it like that, but that's a very good point. And that actually does lead me to what I was going to ask. What are you working on now?
Oh, now this year, I find I have some things I want to say,
mm-hmm.
and I am going to say them in essay form.
Cool.
Because, essay, short personal essay, it's a mini memoir. Not everything is deserving of a large, you know, full-blown treatment.
Right.
But I'm also editing. I have 4 or 5 books to edit this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally enjoy that, too. Cape House Books mm-hmm. is a collaborative publishing company that my husband and I started. We opened in very late 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just coming into our own. So we're working with a lot of authors. And we've got a wonderful publicist, which is an important piece of the equation.
Sure.
And so he is now actually pushing Self and Soul.
Wow.
So that's going to be interesting. That's a journey in itself. You know, that's a whole other job.
Self-publishing and pushing, you know, learning how to publicize yourself and everything. It is. It's amazing. But it's also a way that I think more people maybe don't feel quite as intimidated by the idea of writing a book. In the old days, it was very intimidating.
That's right.
You know, it's a friendlier atmosphere now, publishing.
It is.
I think.
As long as you can keep your quality high.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And that, I'm glad you said that, because that is something that I have talked to so many writers, both traditional published and self-published, that is often a struggle for people, is the quality. You put something out there that's full of typos and you know, and not knowing the difference between your and your, that kind of stuff. That's
exactly.
Good.
Exactly. Well, editing is such an important tier in the mm-hmm. whole process, whether it's a newspaper, a book, a magazine, even a blog, you know. I mean,
right.
You really need that tier. And unfortunately, with the cutbacks and the economy, that's the tier that's been kind of rolled back too much.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that aspect of the whole literary process. I love editing.
Yeah, and that's impressive that you have that many books that you're working on this year. That's very encouraging to hear.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes.
That's great. All right, well, tell us your website.
LorraineAsch.com and CapeHouseBooks.com.
There you go. So take a look at her website. It's great. Lorraine, anything else we should touch on before we wrap this up? Those are really the only questions I had for you.
Well, I want to bring up one other point,
sure.
If I may. People sometimes are hesitant to embrace memoir,
mm-hmm.
or if they take some tentative steps toward it, because they say, you know, oh gosh, we're dealing with the past, and it's not positive to deal with the past,
right.
And we should let the past go, and we should be meditative and live in the moment, and so maybe it's a negative thing to write a memoir somehow.
Right.
But what I always say to that is, the past is not really past. Who said that? Faulkner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The past and the present always coexist in our minds.
Mm, yeah.
And I try to dispel this idea that somehow memoir writing is mucking around in negativity.
Right.
No, it's a matter of bringing the past up, and like you say, walking through it and figuring out what you think about it. Because sometimes you can do that in midlife
mm-hmm.
better than when you experience some of these things.
That, I can see that absolutely being the case. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that what you said, that people are afraid to go back, because there are a lot, I've talked to a lot of people who, for whatever reason, are hesitant to go back. And I think now you're at the right time to do that.
Right.
You know, like you said. Yeah, that's
an important thing to say, I think.
Yeah, it is. So anybody who's listening to this who might be thinking, okay, well, they've convinced me, let me get started. You would encourage them to first just maybe grab a notebook and get some thoughts out and start there.
That's right. And then to learn the form, you know, read a book or, you know, take a class or come to a workshop, but do something to understand the form.
Right.
Because you will be pouring the story into the form. It will come out better. It will take you less time to write it. I have met people who've been writing for decades because they don't really have an understanding of form. It is worth the time to study.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And so if anybody is interested in maybe any of your upcoming workshops, they can check your website?
Oh, LorraineAsch.com, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, and then see what you've got coming up and maybe where to find your books or Cape House books, and look at where they can find other examples of that kind of writing as well. So I really, really appreciate you taking this time with us. This is a memoir writing, and Writing to Heal is something that has been near and dear to my heart for quite some time. And so I was excited to meet you and then to find out, you know, really how you've helped open this world up to others as well. It's very inspiring.
As are you.
Oh, thank you. So this has been great. I really appreciate it. And everybody, once again, check out LorraineAsch.com and CapeHouseBooks.com. Lorraine, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There she goes. Once again, that was journalist and author Lorraine Asch. Thanks again, Lorraine, for joining us today. All right, that's it for me. Oh, wait, I do have one quick housekeeping note I need to share with you. My website, www.christytherewriter.com, which you all know by now is the companion piece to this podcast. The website is offline for a few days while it's undergoing a little nip and tuck. It will be live again very shortly with a new look and exciting new content, so please check back with me on that. And in the meantime, you can always find me on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Mm-hmm.